The deadline for ballots in this summer's primary election is 1 week from today. Seattle voters will decide whether to create a permanent taxing district for parks. Fire districts in North Highline and Snoqualmie are seeking taxpayer-approved funding. And in state legislative races, the top two vote-getters on Tuesday will proceed to the general election in November. KUOW's Jeannie Yandel asked people in Seattle's University District how they plan to vote in the elections on August 5th. The most common answer she heard was, what elections?
I actually don't know anything about the upcoming elections, so I wasn't planning on voting.
How are you planning to vote in the election on August 5th?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm not sure yet. I know it's just a week away, but I'm not sure.
Do you know what's on the ballot?
Not really. I've been living in Hawaii for about 2 months, and I just came home on Sunday, so I'm sorry.
How are you going to vote in the elections on August 5th?
I'm not voting.
Do you know what's on the ballot?
Yeah, I did. I looked. I didn't recognize any of the candidates. Just no interest.
How are you planning to vote in the election on August 5th?
I don't know.
Do you know what's on the ballot?
No.
How are you planning to vote in the elections on August 5th?
I have no idea. I don't even know what I'm voting for, so I haven't looked yet.
So, are you going to vote?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll look everything up and vote.
That was Alina, Terry, Jay, Marnie, and Brandon. Most of the folks that Jeannie talked to said they weren't voting, and they didn't know about the August 5th elections. Low voter turnout has long been an issue, particularly when it comes to local and state elections. In general, Washington State has higher voter turnout than most states, but it's not great. During the last midterm elections in 2010, less than 50% of voting-age residents sent in ballots. So here in Seattle, a minority of voters may decide how all residents pay for city parks. Is that necessarily a bad thing? Well, Todd Donovan is professor of political science at Western Washington University. He says that low voter turnout can mean that a minority of people may be skewing elections to be unrepresentative.
How low does it go before there's a legitimacy issue, where you have governments that are elected by 20% or 15% of the citizens? If you assume that voters and non-voters have fundamentally different preferences and values, then the folks who are showing up and voting are electing representatives and passing initiatives that maybe don't represent what we would get if we had higher turnout.
So those are causes for concern about a low voter turnout, but are there reasons that it might be fine to have a low voter turnout?
Some people argue this. There's an older argument, maybe going back to like the 1950s, that if we had 100% turnout, you know, think what it would be like. If everybody voted and everybody was putting demands for what they want from government, maybe the system couldn't handle it. Those people might also say, you know, low turnout might be a good thing, because if you compel everybody to vote like, say, they do in Australia, you might get people coming out who really aren't paying attention, who aren't interested, and they're just going to vote randomly, or, you know, maybe vote for some extremist or something like that.
Does low voter turnout perhaps imply that people are happy with the way things are going?
That's an argument some people make. And I think in the past, you know, decades ago, when we looked at attitudes of non-voters, which is always hard to study, they did look, you know, reasonably satisfied. But, you know, now, 2012, 2014, I think non-voters are, you know, increasingly people who are just, they're completely disinterested. It's different than being satisfied and distrustful, even more than people who vote. If they're not voting just because everything's being done to, you know, get them informed and get them interested and they still don't care, there's probably not much more we can do. If they're not voting because, you know, maybe both major parties are systematically ignoring them, or they're not voting because the barriers to do so, to register, you know, to get to the polling place or whatever is just so high, then that's different. I mean, then you know, that there's maybe something fundamentally wrong there.
How bad is it? You know, a few months ago, a King County measure to fund transit and roads lost at the polls, but only 38% of registered voters turned in ballots. And, of course, many more people are not even registered to vote. How often are elections decided by a minority of the population because the majority didn't vote or wasn't even registered to vote?
Probably always. Because even if you're getting, you know, a high turnout in Washington, it'd be 66, 70%. Of the eligible voters, you know, whether people register or not. If you pass something with 50% of 65%, you get a minority that's passing it. We have so many elections. So when you start getting to these, you know, off-year elections in February or April or something, we're inevitably going to have low turnout. It's the, you know, when you're having your gubernatorial and presidential elections, those are the ones we really might want to worry about when turnout goes low. And on those, Washington, you know, we've actually had a trend since 1980 where turnout in those, you know, 2012, 2008, were about as high as they'd been in 20, 30 years.
I've heard that older voters tend to turn out in larger numbers. Younger voters tend to turn out in fewer numbers. What else do we know about non-voters?
We know that non-voters tend to be younger. They tend to be somewhat less affluent. They tend to be less educated. But it's the main thing driving it that really jumps out when you look at things is the differences by age. People who are, you know, 60, 65 are probably twice as likely to turn out and vote as somebody who's under 30. And if you really want to start talking about getting turnout up, it's those younger voters. There's a lot more people in, you know, who are 18 than who are 65, but the people who are 65 are voting at much higher rates.
I'm speaking with Todd Donovan, a professor of political science at Western Washington University, about voter turnout. We've got an election. The deadline for ballots is coming up next Tuesday. What are the trends for voter turnout in Washington State over the past few decades?
We've actually gone up. If you go back to 1980, the highest turnout we've had in a presidential election year, where we also elect our governor, was 2008, and it, you know, it's like 67%. So, you know, whereas nationally trends have been going down, and the trend has been somewhat down, we've kind of bucked that trend. And it depends on where we compare to. Like, if we go back to 1980, things look pretty good. Turnout is up in Washington and even nationally.
Are we moving toward a society where it's the educated elite that vote and many others don't, who come from the other end of the socioeconomic strata?
I mean, we've always had a bit of that, and that's the worry about low turnout. That, you know, if it goes lower, you're going to have a greater gap between the interested and the educated folks who are voting and the less interested, less educated folks who don't vote. Democracy, as much as it's, you know, thought of as mob rule, is really the people who participate tend to be the more educated and the more interested.
Todd, I've heard the suggestion that none of the above should be on the ballot. And if most people voted for none of the above, there'd have to be a do-over election. But has that ever been tried?
Yeah, they do that in Nevada, I believe. And I don't think if it's ever gotten double digits, over 10%, that would be pretty rare. So none of the above, as far as I know, has ever won. Yeah, and that's the, you know, that's the kind of thing that we think. Maybe that would bring non-voters out if they could voice their frustration that way. But I think the evidence is, you know, the people who were just angry and want to vote anyway, they might vote for a third party, they might vote for none of the above. That's not getting the non-voters to the polls.
The other alternative that you alluded to is in Australia, where voter turnout hovers about 95%, but that might be partly because you face a fine if you don't go to vote. As a political scientist, do you think we should have a punishment for not voting?
I don't think that would ever work in America, and I've always been curious about how they ever pulled that off in Australia. And even there, it's still kind of a loaded issue. But just, you know, given our individualistic culture and nature, compelling people to show up at the polls, I don't think that'd go over well here. That said, I mean, there are things that could be done to make it easier for people to vote and to make it more interesting for people to vote that would probably increase turnout here.
Like what?
The main thing would probably be having more competitive, contested elections. I mean, you know, another idea that people kick around is election day registration, which is hard to administer for the auditors and such. But, you know, that might increase turnout by 3, 4, 5%. But one of the big thing is, you know, if people live somewhere where there are two candidates or two parties or more campaigning heavily to get their vote, they're going to hear about the election. They're going to be engaged. They might vote. If they're living somewhere where, you know, it's just a safe seat and there's no election going on, or you're going to get lower turnout. Those sorts of things would probably get more traction here, I think, than compulsory voting.
Todd, bottom line, if everybody eligible to vote registered and every registered voter voted, do you think we'd have better government?
No, I think we'd have different government. I wouldn't say that it'll be better or not. That's a good question. I mean, would elected officials somehow be more on their toes if there were more voters out there? And I really don't know. I think we would have a government that would be more closely representing what the majority of people wanted. And, you know, if that's a very narrow definition of democracy in terms of a good thing. But that's hard to say. Would it function better? Would it be more civil? I don't think I'd expect that.
Todd Donovan is a professor of political science at Western Washington University. KUOW's Jeannie Yandel was out on the streets today asking people about probably the biggest issue on the Seattle ballot. It's a proposition to create a permanent taxing authority to fund city parks. So she found out how people were planning to vote on Proposition 1. According to the feedback we were getting, even though most people won't turn out for the vote, those who will vote about this parks district feel pretty strongly about it.
I'm voting no on the parks because they want new parks for all the people moving here, but the developers and the businesses should be paying for them, not just the current homeowners.
I voted for Seattle's Proposition 1 because I strongly feel that the number of operating hours for community centers should not depend on the wealth of the neighborhood.
The parks district is one of the worst ideas that we've ever had in this city. Taxing would just be outrageous, and nobody would have any say ever in the future. So I vote no.
I'm voting no because I don't trust the department to spend the money wisely, and I don't want them to be able to pass tax levies whenever they want to.
That's what you told us about Proposition 1 on the Seattle ballot. You heard from Mary, and before that, Mike Eileen, and another Mary. Don't forget, you have to get your ballots in by next Tuesday. This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.